Welcome to this very special edition of the Real Bill Podcast, episode 980, as we discuss the fallout from the 2024 election, which of course took place last Tuesday evening and frankly was over rather quickly, considering what we thought, how long we thought it could last. The results, we knew basically, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, who was going to be the next president of the United States. Once again, it would be for the second time in three elections. It would be Donald J. Trump, along with J.D. Vance as his vice president. The race, the numbers, when you look at them, were pretty overwhelming. Trump won every swing state. He flipped Georgia. He flipped Pennsylvania. He flipped all the battleground states. He wins the popular vote for the first time a Republican has in over 20 years. You gotta go back to George W. Bush back in 2004 when he defeated Kerry. His 312 electoral votes is the most electoral votes since Obama in 2012. Obama 2012 had 332, and Obama in 2008 had 365. So it's pretty much, it was a decisive victory for one Donald Trump. So here's the thing, I'll get to Trump, but I want to deal with, I'll give you, here's a couple of numbers just to chew on. 100 as of right now, the last number I checked, Trump had 74 million. Votes accumulated 74 million votes. And I'm just checking now to make it to be want this thing to be accurate. Yes, as of today, Trump had 74 million votes. That number just shy of 75 million votes. Kamala Harris had 71 million votes. In terms of percentage, the percentage got close a little bit. It's the total percentage, 50% of the vote goes to Trump, 48% of the vote goes to Kamala Harris. The reason why I mention this is, this is the first time that Trump has been anywhere near or over the 50% mark. You go back to 2020, he was at when he lost, he was at 46.8% of the vote. You go back to 2016 when he won, despite losing the popular vote, he was at 46% of the vote. And of course, remember, and Hillary Clinton had 48% of the votes, 48% of the vote. So this is the first election he's had that even came close to 50% vote, to having 50, over 50% of the vote, which is very telling, to say the least. 155 million people came out to vote in 2020. This election, you had roughly 145 million people. So in essence, 10 million people sat on the couch. 47% turnout in Detroit. In Philadelphia, Trump gets 20%. Got 20% of the Philadelphia vote. Now he still got, Biden, Harris, not Biden, Harris, Harris, and Walz still won Philadelphia, but Trump got 20% of that vote versus 17% in 2020. So all around, you look at the rural state, you look at the rural areas, the urban area, the black areas, Trump's votes went way up all the way around throughout the country. It was a red, absolutely a red wave throughout the country. So what happened? And why did this happen? So I'm not going to be, I guarantee you, this is not a podcast for the for somebody with sensitive feelings. I'm telling you that right now. So I'm sure some people get their feelings hurt. But if I'm playing the blame game here, I gotta start with the brothers. Not as the number one reason, but as part of the reason. The bottom line is 21%. Trump gets 21% of the black male vote, versus Harris only getting 77%. that number needed to be, and I said this during the summertime, said this to anybody that I discuss politics with, that black vote, that black male vote needed to be anywhere from 85 to 90%. Period. For Harris to even have a chance. It needed to be at 85, between 85 and 90%. The idea that you would either vote for Trump or sit on the couch is mind-boggling if you're a black man. So remember this. This is a guy who's the son of a Klansman. This is a guy who didn't want to rent out his apartments to black people or people of color. This is a guy who wants to lock your asses up. Like, he's already said, I want to give cops full immunity. That's code for, I'm going to lock more black men up. We know more black people, black men, are make up the majority of the population in prisons. It's just that simple. They're already working on Cop City. If they're not complete, done with Cop City down in Georgia. Okay. So I don't see how, as a black man, that you would even remotely in your mind want to even think about voting for this man or sitting on the couch. It boggles my mind. And, you know, Obama came out a couple of weeks ago with a statement criticizing black men in regards to this upcoming election that a few black men took offense to. I didn't, because he wasn't speaking to me, because I clearly planned on voting for Kamala Harris. What he was speaking to was the couch, and he was speaking to the 21% that end up voting for black men, for Donald Trump. And when you think about it now, that wasn't as much as a criticism of black men as it was a cry for help. Excuse me. That was, I was talking to my cousin over the weekend about this election. And now that I go back and think about what Obama said, Obama was given that was the SOS. That was like black men, help. We really, 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 really need you. That wasn't people took it as he's slamming black men, which he wasn't, by the way. It was a very constructive criticism. He's not saying black men ain't shit. He's not saying, you need to put down giving off black stereotypes. No. That was a very constructive criticism. And guess what? He turned out to be 1,000% right, because black men voted for Donald Trump. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. Again, that was a cry for help. Obama is one of the smartest, one of the most gifted politicians that we've ever, that a generational talented politician. He knew what was coming down the pike. He knew what was coming. And that was like, at that point, and again, in the moment, you're not thinking of it so much as you're reading all the articles and you're watching all his election coverage. But that at that moment, she was in trouble. And he knew she was in trouble. And he knew the only way for her to possibly win would be getting a high percentage of the black male vote. Sisters came out and did what they do. They voted at basically 91% in regards to her. So they did their jobs to the fullest. Trump got 55% of the Latino male vote, which certainly played a major factor. Republicans, the Democrats have nobody to blame but themselves from that standpoint. They've ignored the Latin vote for years upon years. Outside Joe Biden, they've been in control of the Republicans have been in control of the Latin vote for decade for about 20 years now. If you look at it, there's no reason why Democrats shouldn't have been able to flip Florida. That was no excuse. Now you're talking, you flip Florida, that's like 30 electoral votes. You don't have to win the blue wall, the entire blue wall, if you flip Florida. So I gotta point the finger at black males. I'm sorry, it's all there is to it. It's no excuse for it. It's no excuse. And most of this, a lot of this is disinformation, ignorance, not giving a shit. They're both. You hear a lot of stuff from people that vote for Trump. They're both the same. in terms of these parties, they're not the same. Okay. And they're gonna find that out in 2025. The hard people are gonna find that out the hard way in 2025. You hear a lot of that, that these parties are the same. They're not the same. And again, by any stretch of imagination, I'm not capping for Democrats in any situation. I'm not a Democrat, by the way. I'm a registered independent. I vote on policy, not about a candidate. I vote on policy. Keep that in mind. But there's a lot of ignorance, a lot of disinformation out there. And, you know, Democrats have a major, major messaging problem. We all know this. So I blame the brothers for not doing that. Not doing their part to the level that they should have done it. The number one reason, though, I'm telling you what the number one reason it why Kamala Harris lost this election and why it was as one sided as it was. And y'all not gonna like this, but it was Joe Biden. It was Joe Biden. Joe Biden put Kamala Harris in an impossible spot. You do the math on this one. He resigns, what, July 21st. She has 107 days, which is nothing. That's what, two and a half? That is like 2.5 months. That's barely, it's not even 3 months. That's 2.5 months to come up with a campaign. Branding, there's no way whatsoever that she was almost, it was dead man. It wasn't going to happen. She was like a dead candidate walking throughout the course of his election. Did she fight? Did she do everything she could possibly do? Yeah. And again, I don't have smoke for Kamala Harris from the standpoint. I can look at some stuff. You want to criticize the lack of slander that she could have thrown at Donald Trump in regards to his cognitive and his mind and some of the crazy shit that was coming out of his mouth? Sure. You want to point to the fact that the $1 billion did not go into the right places as far as on the ground, especially in some of these communities, these black communities in Detroit, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Milwaukee. Sure, absolutely. And those are fair criticisms. But she only had 107 days. Donald Trump, in comparison, has been running for 9 years. I repeat, he's been running for 9 years. You do the math on that. 107 days versus 9 years. Remember, even when he lost in 2020, he didn't stop running. He didn't go away. He went back to the lab, was still organized, was still out there doing press conferences, doing interviews. He was still out there on podcasts. He was still out there. The MAGAs didn't go away. They didn't go away in 2020 despite that defeat. So that's not even a comparison. 9 years versus 107 days. She never had a chance. And I'm telling you right now, and I'm going to go back to this. This is not to be a conspiracy theory. She was set up to fail. What Joe Biden did was not put country ahead of himself. It had a country ahead of himself. It was one of the most selfish acts you will ever see. Because if you're Joe Biden, you know, Joe Biden been in politics for 50, 60 years. You know that Kamala didn't have a chance to win. Like, you know that she didn't have a chance to win. And you gave into the pressure of these rich billionaire, the George Clooney's of the world and what have you, because they didn't want Kamala Harris in office. Because here's the thing, right? Here was the setup, okay? There wasn't a fear of Joe Biden losing and Donald Trump getting back in office. The real fear was Joe Biden winning, stepping aside, and Kamala Harris being the president for the next 4 years. Or the next 3 years, or 2 years. Joe Biden even had he won, was not going to do a second term, a full second term. Wasn't going to happen. So we push Joe out. We bring another candidate in, get an open primary. Okay, we don't get the open primary, which they were talking about. If you remember, they were talking about an open primary, Pelosi, Obama, all, and that would have been insane. So, because you only go from what? You go from what, 107 days to about 70 days? That the Democratic candidate would have had. So, hey, cool. We don't get the open primary, but guess what? She doesn't have a real chance anyway because 107 days is not enough. She's not going to win. That's what this was, and this that was what the ultimate plan was to me, to make sure that she was not going to get in office. And she would have had an easier time getting into office with Joe Biden running than actually her running. Because I'm telling you right now, it would have been a, Joe, you can say what you want, it would have been a toss-up between Biden and Trump. Biden still had pull in some of these swing states. Maybe he doesn't sweep all the battleground states, but Biden still had pull in some. It would have been a battle. It wouldn't have been like this. I'll tell you that. It would not have been like this. That's why they pushed him out. Because remember this as well. Had Biden or Harris won, the tax exempt, Trump's tax credit, tax exempt, would have been up in 2025. That tax credit he had for billionaires and people in the top 1%, that expires in 2025. But it doesn't matter now because he's going to renew it and give his billionaire friends and top one people in the top 1% a tax break. So it's this money, the money is still, you know, the money still rules this political world and the world all around. It still comes down to the money. And these billionaires won, period. Mark Cuban congratulating Donald Trump after basically trashing him a couple of weeks earlier or a month earlier. That's not, not a surprise. Hey, congratulations, Donald. Because I know you're going to take care of me as a fellow billionaire, which he will. So Joe Biden, Joe Biden, who in 2020 was looked upon as a knight in shining armor and fixed the economy. He fixed, you know, he helped salvage or make the best out of COVID. It's something that Donald Trump had completely fucked up. His legacy is done. It doesn't matter what I didn't get policy for policy. I'll put Joe Biden's record against anybody in the last 20 years, including Obama. In terms of policies, his policy record is pretty stout, but it won't matter because what Donald Trump is about to do, that will, and he being the main reason why Donald Trump got back in office, it won't matter. His policy record, people will forget about that. That 2020 election win will be a footnote. Joe Biden is the number one reason why Kamala Harris didn't win or didn't have a chance to win. It didn't have a chance in this election. Number one. Now we look at Donald Trump. Will be sworn in, I think, January 25th, 2025. 47th president. Is the oldest president. And again, if you look at his mental state and some of the wild shit that was coming out of his mouth, he's clearly in decline mentally. Clearly in decline. This almost makes sense that he's the president of the United States. And let me tell you why. As the country approaches its 250th anniversary coming up in 2026, July 2026 will be the 250th anniversary of this country. Who Donald Trump is, what Donald Trump represents, is where we're at in terms of as a country. Hate, racism, misogyny, and the epitome of white privilege. Donald Trump is the poster child of white privilege. 34-time convicted felon, rapist, a just horrible human being who cares nothing about himself, about greed, money, the whole nine. He is the epitome of where America is right now. And the reason why you have Donald Trump is the reason why for the second time in 8 years, the reason why you have a Donald Trump is ignorance, stupidity, greed, and this appeal towards whiteness. The fear, you know, it's not a coincidence that when you look at Donald Trump, the policies that he is trying to bring, hey, let me destroy the Department of Education. What does that do? And ban books that tell us the story of history of how slavery came about and what have you. Of course, you want to erase that type of history. Hey, I want to impose a Muslim ban. I want to deport millions and millions of illegal of immigrants, legal and illegal. And through police officers, through the police force, I want to just lock up a bunch of black people. I think the writing is clearly on the wall of the type of America that Donald Trump wants, and that again, 74 million people want, seemingly want as well. And that's where we are right now. So how do you, combat this? And again, I want to tell you something right now too. And I've been hearing a lot of this, people who are opposing this thought process that Donald Trump is not going to be a dictator or attempt to be a dictator. Let me give a dose of reality here. As of right now, Donald Trump will be his president-elect. The Senate is red. The House will be red. And the Superior Court, the Supreme Court, is MAGA. Donald Trump, as of 2021, even before he was voted out in 2020, had appointed 226 judges to the Supreme Court. 226. The Supreme Court, federal Supreme Court, has a 6-3 advantage, conservative advantage. People said this, even if this race would have been close and it got to the Supreme Court, that favored the Republicans and that favored Donald Trump because they had the edge on that. And you don't think that makes a difference? Go ask Al Gore, because in 2000, when the election was stolen from him because of those votes in Florida, and because of Jeb Bush, George Bush's brother, who was governor of Florida at that time, it went to a Supreme Court. Bush won that 5-4, and Bush was then elected president in 2000. So yes, the Supreme Court matters. And in 2024, the Supreme Court is red, is a MAGA court. So president, he controls the presidency, the executive branch, he controls the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court. What's going to stop him from being a dictator? Like, y'all keep talking about J.D. Vance. No. Forget about J.D. Vance. When Donald Trump does not intend on leaving the White House. Last time I keep hearing this, well, last time, well, you know, when he tried to oppose, the election results, he lost. Yeah, of course he lost. He had no power at that point. He had been voted out. He had no power. And the Senate was about to be flipped towards blue anyway as well. This is not the same situation. So this, again, 248 years we've had a democracy that is in serious jeopardy. And if you don't believe it, you're just not paying attention. You haven't paid attention to what's going on over the last 8 years. I don't know what to tell you if you don't believe that. So, I hate to paint a bleak picture of what the future of this country is. I'm a realist. I think, to be honest with you, more attention has to be paid towards politics and civics and local government and state government, things of that nature. We can't get caught up on elections. There's going to be another election. We better hope that there's another election in 2028, but there are also races in 2025, the midterms in 2026 and so on. So, don't get caught up in just the regular, just election every 4 years. There's a lot of power at the state and the local, in your local governments. And the bottom line is, ultimately, we have to educate, especially the youth. Young people are the future, the present and the future. I'll be very, very, I'm still waiting on those millennial and Gen Z numbers as far as voting. They haven't, all those numbers haven't come out yet. So I'll be intrigued by that. But the bottom line is the next generation is it's, you know, it's time for Gen Zs, millennials, and even till, you know, younger Gen Xs to step up. Baby boomers, for the most part, have done their part. As they get older, it's time for younger people to step up. Again, I like my share of, you know, trashy TV. I talked on this podcast about Power and some of the shows, Snowfall, where we've done podcasts on shows. So again, I get it. I don't spend 10 hours a day watching political television and CNN and all these shows. No, but you got to know what's going on. I mean, you got to know what's going on because politics affects everyday life. You think about from the time you, from your birth certificate to the time you die, there's nothing in your life that's not going to be affected by civics or politics. This is all there is to it. So you got to know what's going on, period. I mean, as far as Kamala Harris, she'll be fine. She's not going to starve. She can open her own law practice if she wanted to. She can write a ton of books. She can do speaking engagements. She has, a ton of money at her disposal. I don't know, as far as from a political standpoint, I don't know what her future is. I don't envision her running again. I think, I'd be honest with you, had they had an open primary, had they, you know, had this been a regular, like, let's say Biden steps down in 2023 and you can get the likes of a Gavin Newsom or Shapiro and other people in the mix, I probably don't think she makes it out the primary, to be honest with you. And I think, and I like Kamala Harris. I think she improved from 2020. I don't envision her. I envision this probably was the best chance she had to being president of the United States. And just to go, and before I let you go, just to go show you how ass backwards this country is as far as their thinking and mindset. Saw this over the weekend, the Washington Post. 87 countries around the world have had a woman leader. I'm going to repeat that. 87 countries have had a woman leader. America, in 248 years, haven't had one. So that, you know, that just goes to show you the thinking, the shift, you know, the way this country operates, the way this country has always operated, the idea that they just don't believe that a woman can run this country, or they don't believe or don't want a woman to run this country. That's just not the mindset, which is unfortunate. We know, and especially myself, know how the value and the importance of women, how women have been over the course of my life, and how women are, you know, should be valued in general, especially Black women. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal podcast. We will be back later this week with our regular sports podcast as we look back at NFL week number 10 and preview week number 11. And I will see you then. Have a great rest of your week. So long.